Hey, you good? Okay, I have almost 1:32, so it's time to call the meeting to order. So I call it to order this time. We have a roll.
We have a roll. We're missing one.
Are we missing one for quorum?
Ooh. But somebody might join here, so give me a minute.
Sure thing.
I'm going to do the roll call.
Sure thing.
On Teams, we have Carl Edwards, Jim Goodman, John Rothwell, Caitlin DeHart, Donnie Lane, Specialist Jones, Mickey Flores, Paul Merkris, Pete Rogel, and Zach McCray. In the room, we have Scott Nelson, Lieutenant Enders, Bruce Richter, David Reed, Mark Newman, Paul Fussy, Scott Stormo, Timothy Woodall, and Zachary Hayes. Cops. Did I miss anybody?
Okay, I'm hearing nothing. Do we have any special guests today? Okay. So, is anyone joining?
Henry Cole.
Oh, right. Who joined us?
So, Henry Cole. So, we have a quorum.
Yay! Thank you, Mr. Henry Cole. All right. With the quorum, we can move on. No special guests, so we will move to the approval of the meeting minutes. Has everyone had a chance to look at those? And if you have, do you have any requested changes or any comment at this time? I'm hearing none. So at this time, could I get a motion and a second to approve the June meeting minutes?
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Lieutenant Enders. And a second? Don't be shy.
So everyone online is asking, this is Paul. Can you hear us okay?
Yes.
This is Carl. I hear you loud and clear, and I will provide a second.
Thank you, sir. Motion is passed. Sorry. meetings are accepted. Any minutes. Let's move on to the issues in the risk log. Is that anything new there?
So, Mr. Chair, this is Paul Fussy for everyone out on that's listening. We don't have anything new. We do have the alternates that have been out there trying to get. But nothing new for the operational issues. That's all we have, Mr. Chair.
Okay, great. Thanks. We'll move on to, are there any questions or comments about the issues in risk log? Mayor, nothing, so let's go on to the action items.
So, thank you, Mr. Chair. So the action items, we still have number one and number two. With the ATX Next, we are still doing testing with the system, and we're testing the software also for that. So once that testing is completed, we will work with Motorola to get classes and also with the additional items that Mr. Kyle Green would like. But right now, we're still in the testing phase of the software and radios.
Okay, training is pending.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
All right. Are there any questions concerning those action items? Okay, hearing none. Moving right along. Paul, do you want to do the OMO updates?
Yes, I can. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, everybody. So we'll start with the training. Mr. Nelson has uploaded to the website a training video covering preventive maintenance. That's where the SMO and the APSCS folks go out and do the preventive maintenance inspections on the towers and equipment. and very informative on what they do out there and some of the issues that they run into. And also, I don't want to neglect the AWARN team going out and doing their PMIs of their system also. So crews are out there this time of year. Some of them are helicopters. And then also, once they go out there, you can get run into some rough weather out there in wintertime getting up there with snow machines. So they do really good work keeping the system running. So encourage everybody to take a look at that video. For outreach, the July Executive Council meeting is scheduled for 17 July. And Mary and I are working with ALMR members with their membership agreements and also see if any questions and radio orders. I was working with one agency yesterday with their subscriber request. They've got about 30 radios that I need to be taken off the system. So we're working with them on that one. The testing for the Palmer agencies, we're still rescheduling that one. Should come on hopefully by next week. Also, out of the 140 agencies, we're down to 30 that still need to sign and return their membership agreement. So Mary's been doing the bulk of work on that one. So thank you to everyone who has already signed their membership agreements and returned. Also, the federal non-DOD entity, Terry, is working with them for their cost share agreements and monetary amount with that. The July newsletter has been completed, and that will be sent to the publisher for hard copies and will be sent out electronically on July 15th. As stated earlier with the training with the video, the SMO folks are currently out in the field doing PMIs, and I want to stress, we've got a couple questions, but Claire works hand-in-hand with the BLM and the State Forestry Fire crews to make sure that when we're doing PMIs, we're not doing anything that would interfere with their operations. If anybody's been watching the news and looking at the weather, there's wildland fires all over the state. I believe we're over 600,000 acres burned now. So when the crews go out and do PMIs, to make sure we're doing them in areas that will not affect any wildland teams or crews. And also, Mr. Reed doing and completing updated system scans. So thank you for everyone who's been updating their consoles and computers. The numbers are looking really good with that one. June document reviews, we've completed the risk management plan, technology policy and procedures, standard channel naming convention policy and procedures, concept of operations, and then operations and maintenance organizational charts. We've already started on the August document reviews, and we'll have those forwarded to the entities that need to review them here in a little while. Any questions before I go to the metrics? Hearing none. So if we take a look, with the June metrics for calls, we had 1,712,397. The group and individual calls, we had 2,807,730. Busies, we had 1,733. Sorry about that, I jumped ahead on the slides. So it's 0.0010%. There is a spike, but we do have the PMIs going on, and we do have some sites that are below 3.9s, and we'll go into that here. Sites below 3.9s, start looking at, we had 18. And as you can see, the teams have been very busy. The bulk of those are PMIs. As they're going out, they're also updating the live antennas and feed lines. As you recall, we did have some issues with the original live antennas. They're being replaced. So along with the regular maintenance and the antenna upgrades, most of those are PMIs. We did have some commercial circuit failures over at High Mountain. And then the Alaska Road is right now troubleshooting a couple of their sites, which we'll put it down below 3.9. For subscriber counts, As you look here through our zones, not much has changed there. And if we look here, we're at 32,226, which is actually about 250 less than last month. So thank you to all the folks that are going through their subscriber accounts and subscriber requests and deleting the older radios off the system. That's giving us more breathing room to that max of 33,000. So any questions on the metrics at all from the group? Anything, Mary, in the online, any hands up? All right, so Mr. Chair, I'll finish up with the other section.
Okay.
So the OMO contract that has been revised and renewed starting July 1, that leaves 3 out of 9 option years remaining for that contract. In order to gain access to this building and to do the off-site safe inspection, requires me to have my CJIS recertification. So for the board, I want everybody to know that I've just completed my recertification for CJIS. That'll give me the building and system accesses. We are actively watching wildland fires, like I mentioned earlier, but we did have a little scare. Want to thank the fire crews for their work protecting the Hill 3265 tower yesterday. Their wildland fire number 218, the wildland crews ended up conducting backfire operations to prevent damage to the power lines and the power infrastructure. So I sent an email thanking the fire crews on that, being proactive. They were able to keep the wildland fire from affecting that tower. So we didn't have any issues with that. The end of this month, per contract, I'll be attending the APCO and MCUB meetings. They're being held out of state. And today is also Alaska Flag Day. And then I just want to let everybody know, in case you haven't heard, Chief Mike Sweet, he has been the chief for the Anderson Tunnel Fire Department for many years. It's also known as the Whittier Tunnel. He passed away on 25 June. So I just want to pass it on to Chief Mike Sweet. You've been a big supporter of the Alaska Professional Volunteers for decades and the fire chief at the Wiener Tunnel, but he passed away June 25th. So that ends my briefing, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you, Mr. Fussy. So Mr. Falstock's not in. Is that correct? You want to take, okay. So the next item will be the system management update, and in Mr. Falstock's absence, Mr. Fussy will be giving that briefing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I worked with Claire from the Alamaria Health Desk, and with the briefing here, we want to pass on the PMIs have been completed. So as of June 25th, there was 14 of them completed, 11 kilo sites and 3 drive-through sites. For July, there's 13 that have been completed. There's teams out in the Kenai Peninsula right now. The antennas and feed line replacements are weather dependent. Byers Creek is scheduled for July, for yesterday. Reindeer Hill for today. Yannert tomorrow. Willow Mountain, Monday the 14th. Ernestine will be July 15th. Sena the 16th. And Divide the 17th. And those go out every day with Claire's daily report on that one. But that's all they have for the SMO, Mr. Chair.
Well, excellent. Are there any questions or comments regarding that briefing? Okay. We'll move on. The next item is the state and DOD updates, starting with the state of Alaska. Mr. Scott Stormo, do you have anything for us?
I've talked about these, I believe, in the past, but just to let you know, we're getting closer to an actual date where it's going to happen. We've got a new shelter and a new tower that's going up at Penny down in Cordova. We are going to rehome the LMR equipment into our gen shelter for the moment. So we should be keeping that site active and on the air. during this construction, towers get replaced, new shelters get ripped out, new shelters put in. Just again, to give an example of how the partnership works, we've got one of our commercial partners basically paying for the cost of replacing that tower because they want to improve the site that they're up there as well. And we have needed to replace that shelter for quite a few years. We've actually got some money from Governor's Deferred Maintenance to do that. And we're finally getting to the point where we're going to get it replaced. We're going to join, basically consolidate what we had with what the commercial partner had, and we'll both be in a brand new shelter and a little bit bigger and better built tower.
Will that site be down for a period of time?
It should not be, other than the, you know, pulling the equipment out and moving it in the other shelter. We are expecting to be able to keep it up and operational on another partner's tower. We're going to put the antennas to keep it up, and we're going to get a circuit from one of them to keep the connectivity to it while we're doing all the construction. We won't be so lucky in the future when we're changing a few other places where we don't have other people at the top of the mountain. Like their longer-term plans, we've got a few other places that need new shelters, so there will be bigger outages when those type of events happen. And then the more significant one is the multi-year planning, waiting to finally get to the execution stage of getting this building's power upgraded from whatever year it was built in 60s or 70s or whatever, to Gotch Electric. We were doing some power work, and they basically said that transformer's got to go. All this stuff needs to be replaced. But some other changes, I guess, to bring things up to code. So on the weekend of August 2nd and 3rd, unless something happens to change that, we're going to lose power to this building for, they're saying, a day. We're not sure if it will be a day or not, because they may be able to do some of the work ahead of time or it doesn't have to be out that long, or they may discover that they couldn't do some of that work and it will be down for a whole day. The electricians that we've contracted are supposed to be doing some rewiring so the generator can run while they're doing that work and power the, you know, a few of the rooms in this building that are critical in the air conditioning, but it's being done on the weekend. Offices, you know, I don't think we're going to have lights or power in the wall jacks, but the master site, the frame room, the comm rooms, the air conditioning, in theory, is all going to have power, but, you know, that's assuming everything's labeled properly and traced properly, and sometimes you don't. It's hard to know that until you flip a breaker and find out for real. So
big assumptions there.
Yeah. Yeah, we can either spend another 2 years trying to test all that out, or we can at some point just say we need to do this, so we're going to do it, and hopefully we're not down for a day. But the expectation is we will not be. That is all I have, I guess, unless there's any questions.
Are there any questions for Mr. Scott Strobel? Thanks for that brief. Moving on, Mr. Tim Woodall, do you have anything for us?
Nothing for the group today.
All right. Taking a pass. Moving on to the council representatives. State of Alaska, let's move on to Department of Public Safety. Lieutenant Andrews, which you're right next to me.
We're having a meeting training up on at J-Bear with Army National Guard the 20th through 22nd, invited Mr. Fussy and Scott Stormo and some of the radio engineers as part of that, just to work on comms and trying to improve our comm situation and get us all on the same page. Hopefully that'll be profitable, and that's all I have. And some of our search and rescue groups, too, with the objective of everybody communicating for search and rescue. That's the objective.
Thank you. Mr. John Rocco, do you have
anything? I have nothing at this time. Thank you.
All right. Moving on to DOT. Mr. Henry Cole.
Good afternoon, everybody. I don't have anything to add at this time. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. You should click that in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you
we'll move on to
would you want the Alaskan Command as a search and rescue coordinator for the state?
Sure.
You you can send me the information on that. I'll pass it to our SAR.
Okay. Yeah. It's trying to get everybody together to have a, you know, FaceTime helps a lot to work out a lot of bumps in the road. So.
Is that Mr. Nelson?
Yeah.
He's already on the list.
He's on the list.
Yes, sir. Okay. Great. Perfect.
Okay. Hey, did everybody catch that?
Okay, we can move on. All others. Starting with me, I have nothing to add for the good of the order. Mr. Carl Edwards, how about yourself?
Unfortunately, I have nothing for the rest of the people, so thank you.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to DOD. So, Jay Bear?
Caitlin DeHart.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Go ahead.
This is Caitlin DeHart from Jay Bear. I have nothing new at this time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Nobody from Ileson.
Okay. No one from Ileson?
Nobody from the Army.
Well, the Army's MIA. All right. Send out a search party. So going on to the federal non-DOD.
Nobody for DOJ.
Nobody for the Department of Justice. Okay.
Nobody for DOI.
Okay. Down to all
and
others.
Nobody from there either.
Oh, okay. Do we have anybody from the city?
From the north?
Yeah.
No. Nobody from there. But we do have from southeast.
Oh, southeast. Aaron Kawara.
Hello. My updates are pretty specific to Juneau again this month. We had a joint training exercise with the Army National Guard, law enforcement, fire department, state and tribal members on June 9th through 12th, the ORCA 25 exercise. And we did utilize the ALMR channels for that exercise. I'm working on getting feedback from our users on that. And we are working on console upgrades at the Juneau Police Department, Police and Fire Dispatch, and connectivity to ALMR with this upgrade. So we're excited about that.
Well, that sounds great. All right. Thank you, Ms. Kawara. Anybody from Central?
Jim Delta.
Okay. Well, we'll talk to Jim later. Then that moves us on to new business. Why don't we go ahead and start with you?
Appreciate it. Bruce Richter from CISA. Want to share a couple things. Number one, I gave the link to the fact sheet so Mary can put this in the minutes and then we can read it for ourselves. But essentially, after we bombed some holes in Iran, there was an expectation that one of the means of retaliation could be potential targeted cyber operations from the Iranian state. And so a joint bulletin went out from FBI, Department of Defense, Cyber Crime Center, National Security Agency, and CISA, just warning of a heightened awareness, heightened threat environment, and recommending some of the basic cyber hygiene things and making sure you're not the easiest target out there. Software patches, multi-factor passwords, where that makes sense. Anyway, it's in that fact sheet. I just encourage you to take a look at it. So far, there's not been evidence that they've been successful in any of their cyber efforts, but things seem to change on a moment's notice. The second thing I wanted to bring up, next week I'll be in Seattle at the Seattle Fire Training Center for a jamming exercise in preparation for World Cup 26. They're one of the host cities. And so we wanted to do sort of like you're talking about, just get everybody together and bring in FCC and some other players and see what the threat is to public safety comms at that event might pose. And coincidentally, while this is going on, we've been planning for this event for months, just last month, the criminal system down there had a case where burglars are using jammers that have been obtained illegally. You can't own one in this country. And what they're doing is they're defeating wireless security systems like ring cameras and things with them. So there's actual video footage, and I'll send that link to you that you can share as well, where they're walking through the crime scene holding these jammers. And unfortunately, some of them have turned into home invasion robberies where kind of the modus was they were targeting professional sports athletes, and they could read the schedule and figure out when they're playing an away game and they're not going to be at home, but the family was home. And they're going in there doing these burglaries and robberies using jamming equipment to try to defeat home security systems. And that was sort of a side of the jamming thing that I really hadn't considered. But on a national level, we're seeing more of these things being seized by customs coming into the country. Many of them are made in China. And it is a real world threat here in this region. So I'll hopefully have some after-action report lessons learned to share from the exercise next month. But that's what I've got to share today. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. Was there any additional questions or anybody want to make a comment on that? Not hearing anything, so we can move on to the review and approve of fiscal year 27 ALMR budget. So how would you like to proceed on this, Mr. Fuzzy?
Through the chair, Mary, with Mr. Goodman leaving the conversation, do we still have a quorum?
Mr. Rockwell joined late.
All right. Just barely, that's fine. Thank you, Mr. Rockwell. Please stay on the line, sir.
I will. So, thank you.
So let me drop this down here. So this is the format that we've been using for years. The user council likes this format, so I don't change things. So the operating budget, this is for FY27, it must go to the user council. The user council must look at it, approve it, or make comments. If and when the user council approves the budget, then it goes to the executive council. So the reason we try and set it up this way for July, because the executive council also meets in July, which will be next week. Once it goes to the executive council and it is approved, then it goes to Mr. Scott Stormo. So what we do is we work with the AWARN team and the DOD team and the state team to generate the budget. So I will start. If there's any questions, please let me know. So the Operations Management Office budget, like I mentioned, this was just updated for July 1, and there's 3 years out of 9 left remaining. This is a set contract. This number does not change, and that number is $347,220. And that includes my office and, of course, Mary and Dan doing the training and also the mandatory travel that's into the contract. So that hasn't changed for at least 10 years. That amount has been the same. Does anybody have any questions on the OMO contract? Mary, here. Hearing that, I'll go to the next section. And we will email this out after this meeting so all the user council members can look at it to make sure. So this one here. This is the Systems Management Office. Right now, it is a current set contract. However, for FY27, it will be a new contract. So I asked Mr. Stormo, I don't want to speak for Mr. Rockwell. I think Mr. Rockwell also added to this. This number is an estimate. Scott, do you want to talk about that number?
Yeah, it was part of math. We basically took the fixed price that we've been paying for a 10-year contract and we multiplied it by 2. Because We really have no idea what it's going to cost for the new contract, and we also have no idea if we'll get the funding to support whatever it will cost. But we're going to go through a process to negotiate, you know, the follow-on contract, and then we'll have to have it set up in a way that if we, you know, we'll fund as much of it as we can fund, but we don't want to, you know, we don't want to have something that says it's going to cost $6 million and then we don't get our money and then we don't have a contract. So we want to make sure we have pieces of it that we can fund as we get the additional money, hopefully appropriated. You know, it's we've been at a fixed price for 10 years. I think everybody knows there's been a ton of inflation. So the expectation is just inflation is going to mean the contract would cost more. The other things, you know, we have purchased just from Motorola, for example, the 10 years ago cybersecurity program. Well, that 10 years ago cybersecurity program is not for sale anymore. It's just because we have it under contract, it's what we're getting. Obviously, a lot's changed in that. So there's expectations of things like that and many other new technologies that have happened in the land mobile radio system that will probably generate new things for new requirements for us and new bills for us to pay for. So we did them times two. Don't really have that based off of any facts yet. So we will go through the process to try to meet the requirements for DOD and the state that's who uses that contract, and then we'll seek funding as necessary.
Thanks, Mr. Stormo. So for the user council, this systems management office includes the Alamar Help Desk, which when you put in a subscriber request to add radios, to delete radios, to monitor the system, this also includes the technicians going out in the field conducting PMI and travel and helicopter costs to maintain all the systems on there. So if we go to the next one, and if we look here, this is the state of Alaska FY27, but it's also the DOD FY26-27 and the MOA calendar year 26 to 27. So it's a conglomeration of the three. And for the contract, the OMO is split between the Department of Defense and the state. So not just one agency is paying for the full amount. The estimated, and I want to stress, it's estimated contract support for the IOMS, which is the Systems Management Office, that is split between the DOD and the state. The capital costs, which are essential equipment and infrastructure, that's a number that we received from Mr. Stormo, the $16 million. And the $950,000 was the estimate we received from the AWARN team, and that's for the infrastructure and essential costs. For a SUO Plus, the $10 million, that is split between the Department of Defense and the state. And remember, the system is owned 85% by the state and 15% by DOD. Taking these numbers up top, these are the grand totals and for your Department of Defense and for the state and municipality of Anchorage, you're looking at $33 million. We'll go into the SUA a little bit further. Are there any questions on there? I know that's a lot of money. I'm not going to lie about that. But anybody online have any questions as to how we came up with those numbers?
I'll just add another comment to the SUA Plus. Those were refined budgetaries, but they're a year old. And I think I've kind of been told that those numbers are probably going to be higher than what they were if it was a budgetary refined again. But there's other stuff we would need to talk about before we got to a for sale number. So it looks real precise, which is why I'm bringing that up. It's probably changed. But that's what it was when we got those numbers a year ago or so. And it's hard to get those really precise because it's a ton of work on Motorola's part to go through all the engineering and analysis on that. And it's not something that, you know, you can expect the vendors to do all that work and labor for something that you may not be doing. So it's kind of hard to get a real refined number until we really got money to show.
Now, when you're looking at the SUA, ALMR is one of the few entities that does not have a SUA. And that's a correct statement, Mr. Stormo?
That's what I've always been told. We're the only one like in the Western region, you know, but in the region that we are in, Alaska, Hawaii, I think Montana, Oregon, Washington, maybe another state or two, that of all the systems Motorola has, we're the only one that is not on a SUA. Which means upgrades are painful. It's hard to plan for. It's more costly to execute them, which is why it took 5 years to do what we are still not done yet doing. So being on a SUA makes that whole process a lot easier.
So the addendum A, that's near long-term funding requirements. Of course, it's a part of the Operations Management Office for Infrastructure, IOS, which is the Systems Management Contract. These are the upgrades and the releases of the right now for the current release for the software and maintenance services. And I want to stress here, 3% incremental. That is a best guess estimate, which is a 3%. So this is the state of Alaska, and this would be with our operating costs and the essential equipment. Once again, deferring to Mr. Stormo with those numbers.
Those are, you know, the bigger numbers up front for radios. That's we still have an enormous amount of radios that haven't been refreshed, and then just leaving some money in the out years to try to, you know, handle new requirements or radio failures or, and those are, you know, listed at a state level. So whether the state funds it at a single budget or the individual agencies take care of their radios, that's just kind of a ballpark of what kind of money needs to go into radios for. So that's 8,000 or so that they have. The ALMR coverage enhancements, that's, you know, we've asked many times in the past, but it's again just, it's trying to put a request in so we can expand coverage, add sites, add new technologies. But got to have money to be able to do that. So that's just asking as we have in the past. And then in the infrastructure capital investments, that's what traditionally would be known as, you know, the SAT side of the house. That's what will fund the new shelters, that what funds replacing, you know, the microwaves, the battery plants, the generators, tower work, all that type of stuff that we have been very closely and slowly spending a chunk that we got way back on the year when we moved to DMVA, so 4 or 5 years ago, I think that was, because we were not feeling very likely we were going to ever see anymore, and we really needed that for, you know, handling the break fix emergencies as they were happening. But this is the last year that money is going to be around. We would have no problem spending that. That looks like a lot of money, you know, $3 million a year, but that's nothing when you're talking about, you know, $200+ million worth of infrastructure. So that's all I got, I guess, to talk about on the solo parts of it.
Thank you, Mr. Stormo. DOD, so Mr. Woodall, these are the numbers. Thank you for supplying those. These are the ones we took from the email. Anything you want to talk about with these, Mr. Woodall?
The only comment I would make with regard to the system upgrade agreement is you look at those costs. Understand that typically we do upgrades via capital funding, which comes every 3 years or so. In the system upgrade agreement process, we would be paying for those upgrades on an annual basis versus every 3 years, so the system stays in continual upgrade. And over the long run of the total cost of the system through 10 years, I don't know if this is still true, but it was said in the past, that there is roughly a 17% savings over doing capital investments by doing a sewer approach. Of course, that's hard to compare now. That was the sales pitch before, and numerically, I don't know, when we started thinking about SUA was 9 or 10 years ago. Numerically, that proved out. I don't know if it still does. We've had a lot of inflation and costs, so I don't know that that still proves out. But what it does do, if you can get system upgrade costs put into your operations and maintenance costs on an annual basis, it makes sure that we all all the funds line up at the same time, and the system stays at the best performance level. One of the things to note is, because we don't typically keep up with the five-year window that Motorola gives us between technology versions to do the upgrades, we're typically behind in doing the upgrades. And when we're behind in doing the upgrades, we don't get the full benefit of that upgrade. For instance, we might be paying it for an upgrade when we're 3 years into that technology version already. So we're really only seeing 2 years of that technology version before we have to move to the next technology version. And because our funding between state and federal typically sometimes spans as far as 2 years, one gets funding, one has to wait 2 years for that funding to line up, then we fall further behind. So one thing the system upgrade agreement would do, it would align the upgrades on an annual basis. We would no longer have to do capital investments, and we'd no longer have to do any catch-up, technology catch-ups to get into the next contract year when we went forward. So, Scott, you got anything to
add? Yeah, I guess I should have mentioned that, but you know, the $24 million that the state has spent upgrading the project that we're going on, I don't have the military's math down in my head, but it's probably $8 to $10 million or so that their investment has been in to do the upgrades, and they didn't have to do GTRs because they already had done that a few years previously. None of that has to happen anymore if we have that SUA plus. It's all covered in there, which, you know, all the brand new GTRs that we put in, to Tim's point, were not brand new technology wise. They were, you know, 12 plus 14 years old, that platform, when we bought them. So the good news is they're already pretty close to being noted that they're end of life and end of support, and the replacement for all those is included in that SUA plus funding line to the follow-on technology. Consoles is another example, I guess, on top of that 24 we did, and 8 to 10 DOD did. We all went from Gold Elite to MC7500 platform, and that, you know, was, I think, state and local was $5+ million investment when we did that. The Access console platform, which is the latest consoles from Motorola and probably not far from being, you know, if you're buying something, what you're buying, those will all be upgraded and replaced. The Gold Elites or the MCC platforms will be swapped out to Access consoles in that same process, without having to seek those capital funds that have bid us in the past and caused us to, as Tim said, we all got different fiscal years. We all have everybody's kind of sitting around waiting, well, are you getting it? If you get it, I'll get mine. It makes a mess.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Reed, security manager?
To add on to that from a security standpoint, the SUA platform does provide us with a much more stable footing, in that we're getting our system updates on an annual basis. We're actually moving to new versions of software and operating systems, and we're not sitting on vulnerable platforms that we have to find other workarounds for.
Thank you, gentlemen. We go down to the next one. This one is blank because unknown what the DoD is going to need for radios coming up in FY27. So that one is blank. Same with Municipality of Anchorage, the $950,000 RF equipment platform migration. And then for their console migration, they're estimating $2,950,000. So keep in mind, with the three agencies, everyone has a piece of the pie. Everyone is putting in millions of dollars into the system. It's not just one agency that's bearing the burden of the cost of the system. So with the three agencies, a lot of money is going in, projecting into it. But once again, this is FY27. So
state FY.
State FY, that is correct. That's why you're correct, Mr. Woodall. I apologize for that. Yeah, that's why I had to line all three of them on at the top of the paper.
Just a short comment on why the A1 looks different. I don't know if Trigger's on, but their funding process, at least in the 11 plus years I've been here and have heard Trigger say multiple times, is a whole lot easier because they get something on the bond, and most people, myself included, you know, vote yes when they're reading something that's about public safety and stuff. Scott Stromo doesn't have a state bonding process, and Tim Woodall on the DoD does not have a DoD bonding process. So it's a lot harder for us to go through the process to get money than it is for the Muni. So the Muni is basically able to effectively do it the way they've been doing it, and they're really not a concern about them getting the money. They'll get the money once we've got the money. So we're the hard ones. If we get the sewer, then we'll be looking at them, I think. We'll have solved our problem. And we are the problem. The way we've been doing this is not good. We've been lucky that we've kept it going the way we're doing it. As mentioned earlier, we're the only ones, you know, not everybody's on sewer. We're like the one of the rarities of people that are not.
So just to reiterate, everyone for the group online, so this is the State of Alaska FY27, the DoD FY26-27, and the MOA calendar year 26-27, which runs from July 1, 2026 to June 30th, 2027. Does anybody online or in the room have any questions on the operating budget for ALMR? Mary, anybody online? Okay. So just to reiterate, the user council would have to approve this, and then it goes to the executive council. Once the executive council approves it, then it needs to go to Mr. Stormo and Mr. Wood also. They can have the information to go in front of who they would need to.
I'd like to make a suggestion that we remove the subscriber costs for DoD from the report. Not essential to the shared system function. That's an internal DoD cost figure that very difficult to get from the agencies what they're funding for radios. So
this one here, Mr. Woodall?
Yeah. I would just delete that from the chart. Okay. Or you can put a note that DoD does not want to provide it. Or just because it's not essential to the total cost of the infrastructure. In here, we should be having infrastructure costs, not subscriber costs.
Okay.
Would be my,
that before I send it out.
Which is my recommendation.
Okay. Remove DoD. Central
yes.
I mean, you probably should do the same thing. It's got remove subscriber costs.
It could. The infrastructure that I know is the next one down below that you don't have any money on the DoD side, and that's for, you know, solving problems like when a battery plant goes bad, so it doesn't take a year to get funding, and then.
Yeah, that's something that each individual agency
user agency has to provide or not.
It never has.
It never has.
Right. So is this an opportunity? Maybe this is not granular enough, but if there was a throw a number on there, $250,000 for the DoD to tell everybody else you need to have something set aside in case you want to break
that. I think the right approach to that is to go through the membership agreement and require them to provide those figures annually. We have to have some way of so they sign the agreement to, and in there is a provision that they have to provide this budget input to for internal costs. But internal costs to support the infrastructure, not internal costs for subscriber equipment.
Thank you. Anybody else online? Any suggestions or comments? So that completes my briefing of it, and I want to thank the gentleman here in the room for adding and making some comments. What we'll do is we'll remove the DoD essential equipment per Mr. Woodall's request. And going back,
we may move ours. I guess unless John wants to talk about it now, we could move our line as well.
Just to Tim's point, that whether you replace your subscribers or not is not impacting everybody else in the infrastructure's operations. So, unless we're talking about the TDMA, FDMA conversation, but I can tell you anything. I won't go that far right now on this.
So we could put a separate line in the budget for agencies transitioning to TDMA, that projection cost. But I wouldn't relate it to the total cost of operating the ALMR infrastructure from a partnership perspective, because subscribers have nothing to do with that.
That's correct, Mr. Well. This is just for the agencies that own the system, not, say, for instance, Steve's Volunteer Fire Department or something. That's not part of this budget. That's their own. This is just the infrastructure owners.
And so it related to the agreement that we have, the cooperative mutual aid agreement, is to mutually share an infrastructure. Again, it does not address the requirement for subscribers. So giving this information to the executive council might create unnecessary questions. And quite frankly, when you start putting subscriber costs in there, I think it artificially inflates what already is a significantly high cost. So I don't think I want to show what it costs to buy new subscribers, because it's not necessary for the sales requirement we have to get funding approved for the infrastructure.
The reason I always had that on there, Mr. Woodall, is because those have always been included on there. But I would defer to the infrastructure owners and the user council if they would like that removed.
I'm okay with removing the subscriber line from ours as well. And we could pull. ALR coverage enhancements is debatable. You know, it's related to this business, and we've always, in the user council and executive council, we've always talked about where we need to expand on that. So that's infrastructure and that's funding to support that requirement. So I would say it's worth leaving that line in, but the subscriber line could come out. Because the grand total numbers, as Tim was saying, are scary when you look at them. You know, it's because we've so underfunded it in the past, it looks like it's but it's what everybody else in the world has been paying.
And you don't want to throw another scary figure in there,
right,
on top of that. I think it would distract from the conversation we have to have about infrastructure.
Does anybody, this is Paul, does anybody online have any questions or comments about the operating budget?
So, Mr. Chair, with the changes that the infrastructure members have requested, Mary and I will have to delete those items. With your permission, Mr. Chair, I would like Mary and I to make the changes to the budget. And with your permission,
email them to the UC members for an online vote, if that would be okay with you and the other user council members.
That is just fine with me. Are there any objections out there?
Mr. Chair, this is John Rockwell.
Yes, sir.
Mary, can you tell me when the next executive council meeting is?
Next week. That's through the chair, Mr. Rockwell. This is Paul. That's the 17th.
The only caution I have is we need to make sure that we get this finally approved and voted upon, whether it's a vote now with the changes recommended and or a email vote. I don't have an opinion. I just want to make sure that whatever we choose, it is done rapidly so we can have it prepared for the next week executive council meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Rockwell. And yeah, I don't see the, I mean, these are minor. Okay. Mr. Cole, I see your hand up. Sorry, go ahead.
No worries. I guess my question was, for the DOD one, it was an obvious change because it was a blank line. What's the other line being proposed to be removed? I wasn't sure I was following it correctly. The one
through the
SOA.
Through the chair, Mr. Cole, it's the line that I just highlighted there. So we removed the amount for the radios.
Okay. Well, thanks. I guess my question is because that's $33 million over that 8-year span. Is that all intended for subscriber radios? Because the line says radio services and systems, and I assumed that was kind of the state's share of, you know, repeater units and towers and whatever else that may be required. We hear about every month, we hear about maintenance and other activities. That's the largest single row on this budget that I can tell. And it seems like it'd be worth it for us to have a better understanding of what that is before we just remove it. Maybe I'm being naive here, but.
Well, it's mostly radios. The fact that it says services and systems is because the radios now, there's a lot of new technology. We got radio management. There's subscriber annual service fees for that. We've got the new LTE radios and Smart Connect. Those all come with service fees that are, you know, have a bill that has to be paid every year. So that's why those extra words are on that line, but it's basically radios and fees that go with the radios that we're using now that, you know, we didn't have those fees a couple of years ago. Right now we're kind of paying those out of hide. And we were able to do that with a small number of radios that are doing that technology right now, but as we get more and more radios, we can't afford to pay that.
And to the point, it's not related to the infrastructure costs.
Well, fair. I understand that, but I guess as a representative of one of the SOA agencies, it is part of the operating cost that at least is going to reflect on DOT, DPS, the other departments that are represented here. And I think it's worth calling out, but that's just my opinion. Thank you.
And then I have.
Thank you, Mr. Cole.
I have a comment from Erin. She would appreciate seeing the document as an email attachment and having the ability to ask questions prior to a vote.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, and for the group, what we can do, we can make the changes, and through the chair, Mr. Cole. We'll have that line tentatively removed, but as a user council member and voting member, you can comment and vote however you want on that one. What we'll do is, through the chair, Mary, if you can get this, I deleted what we needed to do and get that sent out to all the user council members today with a cutoff of Monday. That way, if someone wants to look over it over the weekend, but we need votes back by Monday for the Executive Council meeting next week. That'll give us enough time for you and I and the DOD and the state and AWARN to have a finalized product sent out to the Executive Council.
That is good to me.
Okay, Monday is the...
That should be the 14th.
14th, yeah.
And the meeting is the 17th.
Yeah. I mean, that's doable. I'm not really expecting a whole lot of people to be reading this on the weekend, of course. But I do, Thursday, Friday, and then Monday.
Close business on Monday.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, because we're just entertaining these two changes here. And I can see that there are questions about it, and people aren't comfortable to vote on it. I'm not going to force a vote on it. So
I can make a recommendation that you remove the line and you put it. So we have the infrastructure costs, and you total that cost, and then you have subscriber services and costs, and then you can put the state's costs. But see, everyone, you're not giving a full picture because everyone has these costs. Local government has these costs. All federal non-infrastructure owners have these costs. Right. So what happens is we're not telling the Executive Council what the cost is because we're not including all the cost of subscriber equipment on the current system. So if you're going to put those figures there, you have to say it's not. You'd have to caveat that by saying only state has provided the figures, DOD has not, other federal agencies, all other agencies on the system have not provided those figures. So now you have an inaccurate picture of the cost of all of the users on the system with regard to subscriber costs.
Right. And let me ask this, Mr. Stormo, have all the divisions within the state on LMR provided those kinds of costs?
No, those are just rough, knowing what an idea of how many radios need to be replaced. And if we had that kind of money, we would be able to continue that process to get them.
Right. So I want to say it's a wild number. It's an educated guess. Yeah, educated estimate. But yeah, it's still just an estimate. So, but just the same, we can break those out.
But. And I agree with what Tim's saying. I think it's misleading to have them in there because it doesn't show the whole picture. And I also hear what Henry's saying is he's fighting for money. And taking this out of there doesn't help them, have that information. So but we may be able to tackle that outside of this as a state issue before the state's departments are putting their budgets together. So.
Right. Does it depend on this document?
Not, I think, going down the path that Tim is kind of pointed out here. I think it's just using it in this document is not the right way to do that.
Okay. Aaron, you have your hand up. I apologize. Please go ahead.
Yeah, no worries. I just put it up. I just want to make sure I'm understanding. It sounds like most people think there's a value to removing subscribers and things that are agency specific from the ALMR budget, but perhaps that needs to be either a separate category or at least a footnote for people who are reading this so that they know that every municipal, federal, state agency submits those in their budget separately. So this isn't a total cost to use the system. This is just the system itself. Is that what we're saying? I'm just trying to clarify the different comments.
Yes, I think you're correct that this budget to the Executive Council would be for the shared infrastructure costs. So we don't share subscriber costs. Each individual agency pays for their own subscriber costs. So this is the shared infrastructure costs. So it would be misleading to put subscriber costs in that report. Unless we put everybody's subscriber costs in there and we defined it as the total cost of subscriber costs for operating on the system. So the recommendation is it be removed and then or if it's put in, there should be
the caveat that the figures are a estimate by the state, but no one else has provided figures. There's no requirement to provide figures at this point, so it becomes non-essential information for that fact at that point. So why include it? It only drives questions.
I'm with you, I guess, where I'm at, because we just went through a big funding thing this last 3 years here, is sometimes people who don't understand the technology may look at it and think it's all inclusive and you're not going to come out with your handout later. I don't know how to say that in a more official way, but right. Even if there was some kind of, I don't know that it even belongs as a category or a line item on here, but just a reference to the fact that this is not a total cost because of those subscribers, and that's something that people will be coming for later. There may be an advantage.
Yeah, I agree. There should probably be a caveat on there that these costs are for infrastructure and do not include individual agency subscriber costs.
Through the chair, Aaron, this is Paul. I want to make sure that I'm capturing what you're looking at. So everyone online and in the room, if you can look at Addendum A, where the first paragraph is, the following request reflects near and long-term funding requirements, which are not part of the individual OMO contract or the SMO contract, but are part of the capital costs expected for lifecycle management and maintenance of an entire of the enterprise technology system. I could add a sentence, and I'm paraphrasing here. This also does not include the additional cost of subscriber units, upgrade for TDMA, and other software costs for subscribers.
Individual agents.
Yeah, so individual agencies. Would that cover for you, Aaron?
Yes, I think that seems like a good idea to me.
And I'll flesh out a sentence. I just came off the top of my head. So.
This is Henry Cole. That sentence seems like a good compromise to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. So
need a motion.
Are we ready for that, though? Okay, so I think where we're at, folks, is we'll need a motion to have this sent out an email with the changes, giving the appropriate time. So that's going to be into a close of business on Monday to review, ask questions, and vote online on this. Now, are there any comments about that or questions before we move forward? All right, I'm not hearing anything, so I will entertain a motion for that.
Mr. Chair, John Rockwell.
Go ahead, John.
Henry, I'll let you motion it. Thank you.
Great. This is Henry Cole. I so move.
Excellent.
And John Rockwell seconds.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Rockwell. Thank you, Mr. Cole. Motion's carried. Oh, that's the end of the discussion. Oh. Sorry, I missed one, folks. Is there any further discussion on the motion?
Unheard. Let's vote.
Hearing none. Let's go ahead and vote. Any nays on the motion? So everyone's in favor. Oh, you, all right. Okay, the motion is carried. Democracy. Okay. So that ends that part of the new business. Is there any other new business anyone would like to bring up? Okay, I'm hearing none. I will entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting. Oh, and by the way, next meeting is going to be August 13th, and then the following one will be September 3rd. Moving back, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
September already.
I'm making a motion. Thank you, Jennings. Can I say it?
Somebody out there, give us a second.
Nobody wants to leave, I guess.
All right.
They've already hung up.
All right. As the chair, I'm gonna be the second today. Motion. The meeting's now adjourned. Thanks, everyone, for showing up.
Thanks, so.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. And this is Paul. Mary and I will work on changes, and we'll get the budget out to everyone by the close of business today. So thank you.